Welcome back to the Cool to Be Conscious podcast. We are your hosts, Rue and Rye, coming to you live into your ear holes wherever you are in the world, whether you are on the toilet, whether you are on your tractor, whether you are in the ocean swimming, doing hot laps with your Bluetooth waterproof headphones, or whether you're painting some walls, wherever you are, welcome. And thank you for investing time listening to us speak.
You've just listed off everywhere you've ever listened to a podcast.
Apart from swimming in the ocean.
Oh, yeah, I thought that one was pretty creative. Yeah.
Tractor, painting, yeah, I've done all those things. Welcome back, fam. And today we have a guest on the show, and it's a repeat guest. And the reason why we're repeat guesting is because...
First ever.
He's a bloody wizard, and he's just a man of so much wisdom and information, and we wanted to just... tap into that mind a little bit more. We've had some amazing reviews from that first podcast where we really lent into his story around addiction and how he transcended that clutch or that vice that he was using to escape himself, and how he really evolved as a human being and now assists others to do the same thing. And I guess the whole concept around addiction, what it is and how we're all addicts in some way and how we can be more aware of that. And it was a beautiful podcast, a beautiful conversation. But today we really wanted to dive into things and conversations and topics that you have given us from Instagram. So we're going to really just ramble and bounce backwards and forwards here and bring some really I think current topics
is what's going on in the world, right? You know, these things that people are experiencing. They're asking the questions, and we're going to bring the answers.
Yeah, and I think this is crucial, right? Like, you know, so often on a podcast, you know, you're bringing on guests to share their experience and share their stories, and you know, I think it's crucial, especially for your guys' community, just to serve what they're in right now.
Yeah, absolutely. For those that are listening and are going, "Who's the guest?" It's Drew.
It's Drew.
It's Drew Wild.
Drew's back again. They'll have seen it like the other one on the title though, so they know.
They know
the Drewski. All right, let's get straight into it. It's so Sam. I like.
So should we explain how we're going to do it? So
we'll just ask and riff.
So I reckon you pick one, Rue. You explain what you believe about it. You give your concept, you give your perspective, and then we'll drop in around our perspective or understanding as well. Because what you just said there, we'll give you the answers to what's going on. But really, it's our perspective, our own understanding or learning from that concept, right, that we've lived through. So we'll pick one each. You drop in, Rue, and then we'll dive in, and then we'll go around circles.
We'll bounce.
Yeah.
All right. I got Eugene here. Eugene is... come through our facilitator training from Melbourne, and he's an incredible human. Mm. And he has asked how to speak to those who are not yet spiritually understanding. And that's a great question. That's a really good question. And it's something that when you start becoming more aware yourself and you start seeing the world through a different lens, and you just want to shout it from the rooftops and shake everyone that you walk past, "Do you not see this?" It is the one of the hardest things through that awakening journey to how to begin to newly articulate your understanding of the world, especially with those close to you. Your friends and family might think you've gone crazy when you start talking about the universe and manifestation and signs and things like this. And so what we really... well, my perspective on this is to, instead of trying to force and jam it down everyone's throat, which is you want to do, you just want to tell everyone, because you have this understanding, this peace, this love, and understanding of what we truly are as a human being, beyond the labels, beyond the things that we tell ourselves, and you just want others to experience that. You want others to see that for themselves, because the world becomes this beautiful place. It's heaven on earth. Yes, we experience all the things, but underneath it all, we know there's this inner knowing, there's this inner sense of peace. And it's a really hard thing to not just talk to everyone about it. But then, like I was saying, it can be easily... you can be looked at as, you know, you're going crazy, these types of things. So instead of using your words and trying to tell everyone about it, embodying what you're feeling, embodying the message or the new perspective that you have on the world, and others will feel that. They'll just feel the energy, and then they will actually start coming to you. When you start going to others and pushing it on them, you're actually pushing them away more. So instead, embodying what you're feeling, embodying that energy, that understanding, and they'll see you, they'll feel it, they'll be like, what the fuck are you doing? Tell me more. What are you implementing? And it's really interesting because this is exactly what happened on my journey, your journey, I'm sure yours as well, Drew. Like, it's that first phase of letting go of needing everyone to get it. Letting go of needing everyone to get it, and then just being that message, being that change you want to see in the world, and seeing what happens from there.
Take that even a step further, right? Like, what's that? What's the driving force behind you needing everyone to get it? What's the fuel source of that? Like, who's in the driver's seat when you really, like, what's fueling that need for people? Is it recognition? Is it acknowledgement for where you're at? Is it like you really want a pat on the back for the work that you've been doing on yourself?
So, good question. What I believe is it is coming from a place of love, because it's such an overwhelming feeling. Oh my goodness, this feels so good. I get it now. Why haven't I seen the world this way before? So it is coming from a place of love, but it's understanding that these other people, unless they are actually ready to hear it, it's not going to land no matter what the fuck you say. No matter what you say.
Yeah, what I was thinking when you were sharing that, right? Like, it's a matter of consciousness. Like, the very nature of healing, doing work on yourselves, you're growing, you're expanding, you're developing. Your level of consciousness, like, for want of a better word, just awareness of yourself is growing. And, you know, some of these concepts and awarenesses of self from the level of your new perceived experience of consciousness, it's just not going to match with someone who's not in that same level of awareness. There's a real, like, energetic separation, you know, but just riding on what you shared for it, like, fuck, I would not have wanted to be around me, like, 3 years ago. I would not have wanted to have been around me 3 years ago.
And it's because it's intimidating as well. For those that are on the outside thinking, whoa, what are they doing here? Mm-hmm. You're seeing someone that is exploring themselves so multi-complex, so multi-complex, right? We're exploring ourselves as a spiritual being, you know. It's not just the physical body, it's not just what we see and what we feel, it's actually exploring ourselves emotionally, psychologically. There's so much more to us. The more depth, the trauma, right, that hurt, the pain, we're uplifting, we're seeking inside of ourselves to find the answers to what caused those issues. And when someone is able and open and willing and vulnerable enough to go, I'm looking at myself in all areas, you from the outside that haven't touched that work yet is going, fuck that.
Well, you can also be deemed a subconscious threat.
Yeah, absolutely.
To someone who's not yet in that. And, like, you might even notice family members or friends distancing themselves from you because, 100%, like you just said,
ego doesn't want to die.
Is going, I don't want you around me. And they won't even know they're consciously doing this. Subconscious, I don't want you around me because you're a threat to my very survival and my existence. Yeah.
You're a threat to my understanding of what I believe the world is or who I am is.
Yeah.
Right.
100%. So, you know, another thing that came through when you said that was an old mentor used to say, like, speak to the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to the hearing. And act from permission.
Like, speak to the hearing?
Speak to the hearing. So speak to...
Speak to what they're hearing.
Speak to, like...
Their language.
Like, what would land? I was
thinking the bird a hearing. I was like, what the fuck?
Speak to the hearing. speak to the hearing. Like, speak to what would resonate with them, what would land for them. Like, put yourself in their shoes or take yourself back to the shoes you were in when you were going through that.
Exactly.
And really boiling it down to, like, presence, listening. Compassion, understanding.
100%.
But I so get it. Like, I so get it. Like, when I was in it, when this was so new and it was like, it was so exciting. You know, you wanted to just almost, for me, yes, 100%, there was a part that was like, I want to help you and I want to show you what's possible. That was it. It was like, I want to show you what's possible. There's also a subconscious, like, I want you to love me. Mm. I want you to acknowledge how fucking well I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, please give me a pat on the back.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. So speak to the hearing.
And this is what we do.
Not the fish.
Yeah. No, it's a bird.
It's a bird.
Oh, the bird.
It's what we do at Stillness, right? We really it make is. It, we articulate things in a way that people go, oh, that makes sense. Well, I'm intrigued there. You know, like we use that. It's a sentence that I always say a lot at Stillness is, we live in this fast-paced world and the mind, the thoughts get really loud. We just want to slow those down a little bit. And how we're going to do that is by just breathing. Right?
Yeah.
And everyone wants that. Everyone wants to slow down the mind. It's bloody overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. So, Eugene, tapping back into yourself a year or two ago and seeing how you saw the world and what would potentially land for you back then. Mm. Give that a go, brother. Yep. I think we've nailed that one.
A picnic's one?
There you go.
We've got 60 questions to answer here.
We might be here for about 3 hours. Could be the longest podcast yet.
I can sure just flick one and put my finger on one.
Yeah, go for it, Rose. Do we want to keep names anonymous?
Yeah, Eugene won't mind. Eugene.
Just picking chairs, I guess, depending on the question. Some people might want to remain anonymous.
Mm-hmm. What has been your experience in releasing trauma? Any advice on how to let go of a traumatic event? That is a big question. And I feel for me in my journey, feeling and letting go of trauma was me reliving that experience in a way where I felt non-judged and okay to let go of everything that was happening in my body, whether they were sounds, whether they were reactions, whether I was punching the ground or whatever I needed to do to express that fully in my body. That was me moving through the traumatic experience. I had lots of anger in my body from times that I'd been physically abused or emotionally manipulated, and I wasn't able to express myself fully. So there was lots of anger, lots of frustration, lots of pain in there that was in there. So I just was just in a big heap of swearing and cursing and punching the ground and letting go of that anger because it wasn't mine. It was pushed onto me in a way, you know, and I wasn't actually mature enough to allow that to flow through me, or wasn't aware enough to allow that energy to flow through my body. I held on to it and I wasn't held. I wasn't supported to move through that emotion at the time. So that's why it's stored in my body unconsciously, you know. I had no idea what was going on, but it was unconsciously stored in there. So for me to move through the trauma, I needed to feel it fully. And that's why we use the breath to alter our state of being, to open these different parts of the brain and the amygdala, the central brain where this trauma is stored, so we can relive these things. It's not like we're going to a breathwork event, we're breathing and then we're fine. We're actually allowing people to feel safe to move through that traumatic experience in a way where they can fully process it and fully let go of anything that they didn't fully mm-hmm. experience or express in that moment. That's for me. Yeah.
And what you just shared there, when you feel safe, mm-hmm. we know thousands of people have been to so many different things, but they didn't feel safe during breath work and nothing happens. They go, oh, I don't know if breath's my thing. Mm-hmm. If they don't feel safe, they cannot access that part of the brain. The brain is not ready to turn off that analytical mind because it still thinks it might need still to processing. Protect itself for some reason. So that container being safe is absolutely number one. And all sorts of modalities can let that energy, that undigested energy, mm-hmm. thanks Drew, be processed through the body when it's in a safe environment, because it allows the body to soften and it allows that energy to come through. It could be sitting there if someone feels safe in your company. You could be doing sound healing. You could be just having a chat.
Conversation.
Whatever it is creating a safe energy for that person to switch off that part of the brain, access the subconscious where it's been stored, or in the body, in the fascia, and allow it to release in whatever way that might be.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's trains of thought that the body is the subconscious mind.
Mm.
I mean, fuck, I could do a
entire here he goes. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
I could do an entire podcast on trauma, right? Like, I touched on elements of this, in the other podcast. But you know, to keep it simple, what was the question? What is our experience of healing trauma? Like, it's everything. If you're not looking at, if you're wanting to heal, you're wanting to change patterns of behavior, you're wanting to, there's struggles in your life, there's ailments showing up, whether it's, you know, depression or anxiety or gut or health issues or skin problems or shitty relationships, and you're repeating, you're like rinsing and repeating. The foundation of all of that is trauma. Like,
Full stop.
Mm-hmm. Full stop.
It is.
And trauma basically is a feeling of unsafety.
Well, the simplest form of, I guess, the simplest way to explain trauma, right, is like trauma is an emotional or an energetic imprint within the body. It's an unclosed survival loop, mm-hmm, that's stored in our body. That imprint that's stored in our body will communicate to the brain, which will create a subconscious belief, and our subconscious beliefs create the patterns of behavior, right? Like the conditioning. So it's like bottom up flow process. That's how we've actually got to approach healing. Bottom up. Body up.
Mm-hmm.
We can't approach from the head down. And we might expand on that at some point throughout this podcast, but like, you've got to start to work with the sensation. You've got to work with, ideally, my suggestion is finding a somatic practitioner of some sort. That's why you guys, like, you know, are such huge fans of breathwork. Breathwork is a somatic practice. It's of the body. It's getting us into this, like, from our neck down, our torso, where we're actually starting to free ourselves from some of these experiences. I can't remember the second part of the question, but it was sort of along the lines of like, how do you start to move through a traumatic experience, right? Like,
yeah.
Safety, you guys have mentioned, is everything. Starting to create safety first and foremost in our own bodies, you know, any traumatic event or traumatic experience, and again, like, we need to understand what trauma actually is. Again, that's on my podcast. Like, it doesn't have to be a capital T. It can be like developmental trauma. It can be generational. It can be collective. But the more that we can create safety within ourselves, first and foremost, to turn inwards and to be with the sensation of what's coming up in our body and starting to explore that sensation, and that can be really subtle.
So what would be creating safety for your own body look like?
Resourcing is what I use with clients. So again, I could add it to the show notes. I can tack on a resourcing meditation that me and my business partners have created. But yeah, it's just finding and creating within you a safe space. And that could be a memory, could be a family member, it could be someone you used to visit as a kid, it could be a make-believe, it could be a shape, it could be a place,
a color. Environment.
It's just whatever that is, whatever your subconscious mind wants to create for you to create that sense of safety. Because, you know, any traumatic event, ultimately there's a deemed threat, and we're bringing that into our present experience. Mm. When really, you know, in this Western world, there's very ever really a real threat to our lives. So creating that safety, first and foremost, is everything. Creating a resource within a body so that we can actually hold ourselves in the felt sense of what's coming up for us, and then just noticing the fact that, hey, there's a pattern, cool. How do I feel when that pattern shows up? Because, you know, again, if you don't have that level of awareness, you'll just put that trigger onto someone else. Mm-hmm. What's that felt sensation? Do I feel safe enough to hold myself in that sensation? Often we need someone to help guide us into this. It's going to be really sensitive work. And then how much more can I start to explore that sensation and potentially even start to give a voice to that sensation to start to understand where and why it's wanting our attention, and then starting to free and unravel ourselves from that sensation where it's stored in the body, so that ultimately we start to close that survival loop, we start to close that survival pattern. And then as a result of closing that loop within our bodies, the pattern disappears, or the trait that's created, or the survival response of our body vanishes. I'm like, oh, Yep. Shit.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in this world that are treating these kinds of ailments or patterns of behavior or whatever you want to call these things that are showing up, these struggles in their lives from a top down. Mm. And it's like you've broken your leg and you're wrapping up your arm. Like you're trying to treat something where it isn't.
Mm.
It's not of the mind. Yeah. You might
it's the wrong tool.
You'll think it is.
So instead of trying to think through it, being with it, feeling it, felt sense, tuning in with that, creating the safety.
And that's a lot easier said than done.
It is.
A lot easier said than done. I would say, I don't know if I mentioned it on that other podcast, but there was an experiment done, and then everyone that was part of the experiment was offered either an electric shock or they had to spend 15 minutes with themselves in a quiet room. Something like 90% took the electric shock. Because of the inability to be with self.
And that's the issue with safety. The majority of this planet. They just can't handle their own mind.
Totally, 100%. Let alone get into their body.
Yep.
And we have to create that safety and that presence mm-hmm. with self so that we can actually even drop into the body. Like that in itself is a process.
It's the door. Can we find the door?
It's everything. So, I would say, trauma is the route to all the liberation you're looking for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Drewski.
Oish, what do we got here? So just scroll and pick one.
Some juicy questions in there.
this jumped off the page. Just we will jam on this one. The importance of embodiment, boys.
Oh,
we talk about this just about every podcast, but it's so important. It's everything, and it's interesting. Oh yeah, you're taking it away. You've got to
it's everything. You know, something I say a lot is knowing something doesn't mean shit. You know, I say it quite bluntly. Knowing something doesn't mean shit. You can read all the books, you can listen to all the podcasts, unless you're actually doing, you're not gonna become. You know, knowing, what's the saying? No, knowledge is power. Knowledge isn't power. Knowledge is potential power. And so it's in that. It's in the doing, the taking action when we really don't want to take action. And then those moments that you're really bumping up against the edge, and continuing to show up for self, that we create the being we become, and. I mean, we talk about this often together, just the three of us, embodiments. It's everything.
Yeah.
But even just breaking down that word, like embodiment, being in your body, like there's you're leading from a place of truth. You're leading from a place of experience. You're leading from a place of there's a lot of people that know and teach. They jump from knowing to teaching, and there's no doing and being in the middle. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it in someone. You can feel the lack of embodiment. Like this person seems to know a lot, but I don't feel it. Like I don't feel a resonance of truth coming out of their body.
Mm.
It's hard to relate to this person. I'm not too sure why.
I'm
not feeling their experience. And I think whenever I'm looking for any sort of teacher or guide or leader or just anyone that I really want to relate with, and especially if I'm going to be learning from this person, I'm looking for embodiment. I'm looking for someone who has, they've done the mahi, they've done the work, they've done the hard yards to embody, what they're teaching and preaching.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
It's an energy, right?
It is. It's a feeling.
It's an energy. Like, you can have, just think of, I don't know how to explain this, a candle without its light on. It can have all the right words and say all the right things, but still not creating any light, and you've just got the candle with the light on. It doesn't need to be saying anything, but you can feel the energy, you can see the energy. And that's the kind of way I look at it.
A beautiful metaphor.
It's a feeling, like you're saying. I remember when we both started our stillness sessions, respectively, I'd be up there and I didn't know what the fuck I was saying. I didn't really have a lot of information or knowledge, but I had that feeling, I had that experience of that love that resides beyond all things, beyond that ego, and I just spoke from that place. And half the times I'd be stumbling over my words or stuttering and not fully making sense, and everyone was just like, like just fascinated, you know, because it was coming from that place of love. And when we can speak that truth or embody that truth, no matter what it is, that is felt. It is felt and it's transmuted into human beings, and they feel that and they get it. And it's so easy to see through the other side of it.
Coming from your heart.
Yeah, exactly. And that embodiment, it's like, you know, listening to someone on their Instagram talk about, I don't know, well, this is an example of myself, talking about breathwork and talking all the breathwork things and guiding people through it. And then imagine if I never did it myself. Imagine if I wasn't implementing breathwork. Didn't know anything about it. I just jumped on this bandwagon, eh? I'm going to take you on through breathwork now. Everyone breathe, you know? And all of a sudden, you don't know how to hold the container because you don't actually know how to hold yourself. And when you're in those environments and you're being facilitated by someone that's talking about all the things but they don't implement it, you feel that. You feel it. You see through it. And their body doesn't lie. Like the body doesn't lie. Like if it's unregulated, if it's imbalanced, if it's in a sympathetic fight or flight response, and they're talking into being calm and regulated and they're twitching and fidgeting, like, mate, what are you doing? I can see straight through you here. So embodiment is everything, and it creates the trust, it creates the relationships with the modalities, right? If someone's up there preaching about things unembodied in it, you're going to create that resistance to go back to that modality. We're talking about this today, literally, when people are having experiences with breathwork facilitators that don't feel safe enough to explore the breath or themselves, and they're having this experience and they're closing off in some way to the breath because they don't feel safe, then they leave breathwork going, it's not for me. And unfortunately, that's what's causing these potential breakthroughs or breakdowns from potential amazing relationships with breathwork, you know. And this work isn't just, it's not a joke, it's not for play. Like this can transform and change lives and literally elevate us, not only spiritually but emotionally and intellectually as well.
It comes with a level of discernment, right? Like the more work you do on yourself, the more in touch you become with just your felt sense, your authentic version of you, and the more discerning you become with what is and isn't for you. And I mean, the three of us know firsthand, like there's been a number of people within our space or communities that we've sort of gravitated towards and thought, you know, they're going to lead us to the next big thing, and then got close and then been like, nah, that's not it. It's not who I want to be aligned with, or that's not who I want to work with, or that's not who I want, you know, behind the scenes or whatever. Absolutely. And again, it's just feeling and trusting.
Feeling your body.
You'll hear us say that a lot through this podcast.
No, it is
feeling.
Feel your body. If you can't feel it, fast. Then you'll feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, slow down. If you can't feel it, literally slow down.
Lock yourself in a room for a week.
Yeah, be with self.
Without a phone.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Then you'll feel it.
You might go a little
crazy. It'll start talking.
Righty. Now this one is probably one of the... I think we've said this is one of the most important things every time, but it is. This really is. How to let go of fear of judgment. How to let go of fear of judgment. It's a biggie. It pretty much affects just about every single thing we do. If we're unconscious of it, we're doing things to either communicate to others by the clothes we wear because we're worried about how we may be judged. We're making decisions based on what foods we might eat because we want to feel a part of a group. We might make decisions based on whether we go out or not, what friends we hang out with. Whatever we do throughout a day, a lot of it is based on that fear of judgment from other human beings. And we've dissected this a lot, and I want to go straight to the core. In some way, it's an evolutionary way to survive. We're thinking we may die. And what I mean by this is, back in the day when we were cast out of a crowd or a tribe for, you know, being rebellious or not fitting in or not being a part of the group, and we're left on our own, we are left to fend for ourselves, and it's not easy to survive, and often you'd die. And this comes right into our modern age and wanting to be a part of certain groups, wanting to feel a part of a community or be a part of a certain friend group. And we choose to be a part of these potentially toxic groups or do certain things that are not in alignment with ourselves, but it is a, we think it's a greater way to survive. So we choose to do that, even knowing that it's not the right thing for us. In this day and age, like Drew mentioned before, survival is not a need anymore. We have plenty of food and water and shelter. We're not in that need for survival. So it's time to elevate that level of consciousness up into the heart space. And from there, we'll understand, oh, actually, maybe these things that I'm doing to escape that fear of judgment, I no longer need to do. And this is what happened with myself on my journey, was I got to this place internally of that understanding a little bit more of who I am and what I am. And a lot of the things that I was doing in my life no longer served me. And I was like, fuck. And it was the hardest part of the entire journey, speaking my truth about, you know, stepping away from things or even just talking about this space, you know, spirituality as I used to call it, but stepping away from things like rugby, moving cities, and it was surrendering to this feels right for me and that is the most important thing. Yes, it's not going to make sense for a bunch of my mates, my family, but it feels so right to me. And from that space, I have more energy. I attract more amazing humans into my life. And it's just been a snowball effect from trusting that and letting go of that fear of judgment.
Beautiful. It's so good. And it is that. It's, you know, at what cost of yourself, of suffering, will you continue to do things for other people when you know that you don't want to be doing it? At what cost? What's it going to take?
Like, I loved it. At what cost?
Yeah. And what is it going to take for you to actually step into yourself more and honor and respect the authenticity that wants to shine through? You may not want to go out drinking. You may not want to go to the party. You may not want to do any of those things, but what is it going to take for you to actually stand up and say you don't want to do it, instead of saying, okay, I'll do it, and I'll people please, and I'll keep doing these things, and this is your life. This is your fucking life. Mm. Choose to do whatever you want to do, and the people that will support you will be there. Those that won't be there, and that's okay. Trust in that process of letting those go that won't be there.
And it's actually kind of perfect, right? Because you're on this new path, and those that think it's wacky, they go away. And those that want to support you, you got them there. It's like the perfect thing.
It's the best way to cull who doesn't belong in your life, right?
It is.
Yeah.
And when I used to judge, real quick, I know looking back, I was just fucking shit scared of doing whatever that person was doing. And if I'd used to judge people that were meditating or doing yoga, and it's because I actually wanted to do it. I was afraid to give it a go. I was afraid of failing. I was afraid of looking like the newbie. I was afraid of being a beginner. You know, it's that self-humility coming back as well, having some self-humility to try something new, whatever. But I was just judging because I wanted to do that. It's like an insecurity within self. So those that judge know that they're just very insecure with where they're at as a human.
And we're all judging all the time.
Of course.
It's just how we're wired. And it's just being willing to explore that judgment. What am I making this mean?
It's what we've been taught right throughout our whole lives, to be the best.
Sure.
You know, and then when someone's better than you at something, we pull them down, we pull them apart.
Especially in Australia and New Zealand.
Because we want to be the best. We want to be the best. That's what we've been taught, right? So, yeah.
I've got that quote in my head, like, why, what was it, like something along the lines of why strive to fit in when you're born to stand out? And all of this is like returning to your authentic self, right? You know, I think ultimately any ineffective belief, you can boil down to basically a fear of death. Really, if you get to it.
Except death and you're sweet.
Yeah, more or less. But just exploring that, like that fear of judgment and fear of being judged, what does that mean to me? You know, I'm just sharing from my own experience. There was this, I was ruled by fear of judgment, because I was fueled by needing to fit in, because that gave me a sense of love and belonging.
Absolutely.
Like, it ruled my life. You know, I remember I saw this so clearly for the first time in a workshop, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago. And we sat down, and the very first exercise we did was a feedback exercise. We hadn't met anyone in our group yet, but we wrote down the words that we felt about everybody in front of us. And, you know, then later on that weekend, we did a similar feedback exercise with family and friends. And what I took away from that was the distortion between the two. The first feedback from these people in this group that had never met me was like withdrawn, walls up, holding back, unsure of himself. And then feedback from family and friends was like, you know, very much what you guys would probably experience of me, you know, outgoing, an outward energy, you know, fun-loving, fun, playful, and things like that. I was like, wow, there's a massive disconnect between the two of these. What's going on here? I was like, fuck, I've been the chameleon my entire life. Because it meant so much to me to be loved and to fit in and to be validated and to be liked by anyone in my life. To the point where I was basically just living a lie. I was like an actor in my own life. Okay, what mask do I need to put on today for whoever I'm interacting with in this moment in order for me to show up? I need to figure out who you want me to be so I can decide how I'll choose to show up. It was everywhere. It was everywhere. Like, it was in my messages that I was sending people. It was in posts I was writing. Like, just screaming, love me. Yep. Love me. And, I guess again, from my experience and just sharing that, it was like the more that I returned to my truth, started to build that relationship with myself, learned how to love myself from the inside out, and the more I could surround myself as well, actually, on top of that, with community who supported me in what I was doing, who held me in my highest in any endeavor that I was creating at the time, I just felt that safety to be me. I'm comfortable to be me. I was like, huh, holy shit, I don't have to put on a mask. It was like, whoa.
That's a great point, bro. Because to answer that question, how do we let go of that? I think finding human beings and communities is the reason that why we're wanting to put these communities all around the planet, where people come and they're wanting to do the same thing. We're not there to judge. We're there to hold that safe space for each other, for you to be who the fuck you really are.
All right, community is everything. Everything. I often say this to clients. I'm like, this is part of the puzzle I can't teach you. You've got to go and find your people. You've got to go and explore. That's why I moved to the Gold Coast. I was doing so much work over here, meeting so many incredible humans, much like yourselves. I was just like, damn, I found my people. I found my tribe. Absolutely. Found my community. I found people that I can have, you know, these just open, honest. I could be me. Full stop. That's it. I was just like, oh. And I settled. I could feel my body settle. Safety. Oh.
Take a breath.
What is that? And even just that ease, it was a sense of ease. Because you imagine how heightened you are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're wired the way that I was.
To be, and like you're saying, to be someone act as all these different people. Not. Oh, fuck, I'll be someone here. Oh, fuck, no, I'll be this person. And it's just like, yeah, it takes a lot of energy.
So much. Yeah, it was a real release. It was like, huh, cool. I can just be me. I can just be. And you know, lean into some shit that makes you feel real uncomfortable. Go and fucking sing in the middle of a mall.
Actually, it was one of the first things I did, bro, when I started my inward journey like you're talking about, and being a bit more me, was like, fuck, I tried that Wim Hof breathing thing. I want to do a breathwork workshop. I know none of my mates are going to go, so I'm just going to buy it on the quiet and go along myself. And it just blew my brains out.
Amazing.
And that started my whole journey, really.
Yeah. Incredible.
Try something weird. Try something different.
Get weird with it. And this is one we can get really weird with. I'm just going to drop into the weird one. But it's not weird. I think it's a super powerful thing that you can start to incorporate as a man. Mm. That is semen retention. Semen retention. And it's really fascinating because for me, with this journey of understanding and practicing semen retention started with in a very unconscious way. I was actually not thinking of practicing semen retention, but it just happened. And the reason it happened was because I was addressing all of the things that were making me really uncomfortable or stressed, and I wasn't needing that escape or that sense of release to run away from that feeling of stress or discomfort in my body. And, you know, during the journey, I must have went, I think, like 3 months without masturbating, and I got to that point and I was like, holy shit. It was a conversation with a friend actually, and he's like, had a wank today? Just joking, you know, as blokes do. Had a wank? No, I haven't actually wanked for a long time. And I reflected on that and I was like, holy shit, I haven't masturbated for a long time. And I believe it was truly because I was learning to really love my own company. I was really becoming comfortable in my body. I was addressing the things that were usually making me really anxious or frustrated or any of these things. And I was beginning to understand that I wasn't any of those things. I wasn't stressed. I wasn't anxious. And I didn't need that sense of release anymore. And it's something that we now practice, you know, and it still blows people's minds when we say I'm speaking for myself here, I don't masturbate. And it's still really confusing for a lot of people, I feel, because it's, you know, in the society as we've grown up, it was always the thing to do, especially as a male. When you learn what your genitals do, you realize what that feeling is, right? But the more you become in love with life and you become in love with all of the fascinations that life brings, the sensations that we get to feel, the elated emotions that food brings us, the elated emotions that love and connection and all of these other things give us, you're not attached to that instant quick fix anymore. You're actually becoming, and you're having a multi-orgasmic experience in life. You know, I walk around just looking at trees going, fuck, this is a beaut.
Yeah, don't go for a hike with Ryan.
You know what I mean? And you begin to understand the power and the power and the weight that energy actually holds in your body as well as a man. When you can hold on to that and retain that testosterone, that force, that life that brings life energy to this planet, when you can hold that and retain it in your body, your energetic levels are going to go up and up and up and up and up. You're going to be less addicted and attached to looking and hunting for women and thinking about sex all the time. You're going to be so much more focused on your mission, on your purpose, on what you're doing and what you want to create in the world. You're going to let go of that need to text and message women all the time and constantly seek that response and seek that feeling of, oh, I'm going to potentially get my load off here after this conversation, after a few days, I might connect and get my load off. You're going to be way more incorporated in the love that you get to bring. You're going to be way more present with women. The conversations are going to be way less focused on that end result, instead more present and involved and invested in listening and understanding people. Your life's going to change. So, men, I'm going to give you a little challenge here. See if you can go a week retaining your semen, go a week, and when you get those urges, I want you to ask yourself, why am I needing to go, why am I needing to escape here, why am I needing that sense of feeling or sensation or stimulation? Instead, sit with yourself, see if you can breathe that energy when you're getting horny or you're feeling that energy in your body get really overwhelming and you're like, I need to get rid of that. See if you can just visualize and push it up through the centers into the heart, like Rusi before. Pull that energy up into the heart, into the brain. And you can do this consciously as a man. Squeeze it up into the brain and hold it there for a moment and breathe through that. Breathe through that process as well. And, you know, it's going to be a game changer. It's going to be a game changer.
Become hold magnetic. On to that energy.
Yeah, you become magnetic. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, I love these conversations. It's a matter of energetics. For me, you know, for anyone listening, if I guess like real entry level into this would be like David Data, like the Way of the Superior Man, something like that.
Yep.
And even that, like I've read a few times now, and it just lands different the more that I grow and more that I develop and the more I deepen into sort of my masculine and my masculinity. But this is the exploration of this for me first started because I definitely had a porn addiction, 100%. Like, that would have been there well before.
It's part of the routine.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a normal thing.
Yeah.
It's a normal thing.
Totally. Oh, it's a whole other conversation, right? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, porn was there well before drugs and alcohol were for me. That was the way I soothed from a reasonably young age. I don't know how young, but I remember finding, like, uncle's nudie mags maybe when I was, like, 8 and just feeling like that rush, that oof, and that charge. And I genuinely believe I probably would have masturbated at least once a day for most of my life.
Absolutely.
And so it wasn't until I started obviously exploring my own addictions and then these outlets and these ways that I would cope and self-soothe that I was like, oh, fuck, porn. Massive. Mm. And so I started to have these conversations. There's a conversation that I'd never had with other men. I didn't even know semen retention was a thing. I was like, what?
The benefits of
this? What do you mean?
What we were told to? Oh, you can't do that. You get blue balls.
Yeah, all the conditioning, all the bullshit, all the bullshit. Lad chat. You get blue balls, you'll explode. Like, whatever.
That's a lie.
Yes. And
what's interesting, like, when you're in that state, you kind of do. It's like you're going to explode. Mm, yeah. And that's why you need to have that release. When the body's free and the body's at peace, there's no need to release anything.
Totally. Yeah, and just exploring that, and I started just taking porn out of my life to start with, and then starting to learn what a self pleasure practice even was, and you know, I wasn't necessarily retaining my seed in that experience, but I was starting to explore my body more. So that was sort of like, you know, stage one, just starting to explore my body more. What does it mean to even masturbate without porn? Like, what does that even look like? What does that even feel like? And then, yeah, started learning more about, like, what if I just didn't ejaculate, it didn't come? What would that do? What would that create? And so, yeah, just started playing with it. Or not playing with it, as the case may be. And, you know, again, it comes back to energetics. Like, this is life force, isn't energy, much like Ryan spoke about. This is an ejaculatory experience for a man is actually quite, it's very draining. It's very outward. There's a lot of outward energy. It's very external of our bodies. So we're releasing a lot of our energy. For a woman, it's very different. A woman's orgasm is very internal. Mm-hmm. It's a much more internal experience. It's very like life-giving, life-bringing, really rejuvenating and regenerative.
Ladies, go for it.
Yeah. But for a man, it's like, it's, you know, this again, that stigma, like a man comes and they want to roll over and go to sleep. For sure. I mean, that's that. That's right. So that outward flow of energy. And so, again, just started playing with it. Playing with the energy, playing with this concept of like, what if I just didn't ejaculate? And first and foremost day, I definitely had to navigate my relationship with porn. But then it was just navigating my relationship with my body. And when it for longer periods of time, I did a spell maybe last year or the year before of 4 or 5 months of celibacy, like for no ejaculation. I actually rounded up a bunch of bros from just around the world. I just put a shout out on my Instagram. Had about 15 of us, and we just kept each other accountable. Stayed in a little group chat thread and had a call maybe once a week and just spoke into everything that was coming up for us. It was amazing. It was really interesting, actually. And, just learning other ways in which I can use and harness that energy. And just you know, it chops and changes all the time for me. You know, I might if I'm with a partner, I might go to like maybe once a week, or once every couple of weeks, something like that, or just what feels right for me at the time. But you know, I noticed such a huge difference between like if I was say fucking masturbating daily and coming daily, and just how drained I feel, how disconnected I feel, how flat I feel. How low vibe I feel.
Just tiredness, right?
Just feel like...
Just fatigues you.
Totally. Really compared to even just like 1 week. Yep. Like last week I went really inward and went really internal and just had a bit of like a hermit week, which is amazing. But part of my stipulation for that week was no ejaculation as well. And just at the end of the week, I was just like,
You know? Yeah, testosterone builds up. Good. Go harder in the gym. That's the train listing. You go harder in the gym. Trust me.
Oh, you'll go so much harder in the gym. Like just your awe for life, yeah, your zest, your passion, your enthusiasm, your joy, your pleasure. Like it's just everything so much more vibrant.
It's more present. You're out of your head. You're in your body. And as I said, you just have such beautiful conversations with people, and women in particular, because you're not thinking about sex. You're not thinking and looking at a body as if it's something that you want to put your cock in. You're actually listening to her.
And it does, like, I hate harping on about this, but it does come back to addressing the internal emotions. Mm-hmm. Because all of this is just surface level. It's all just a result of not dealing with that internal tension that's building up. And then the release happens and it builds back up. And the release happens and it builds back up. Until we've dealt with that internal emotional whatever's going on inside and start to address that, it's just going to continue to happen no matter how hard you try and retain. I'm going to do 7 days here. It's addressing what's going on is
so important.
Absolute most important. But when we do start doing that, a really good practice that I got taught was that sexual energy for a man, especially that lust, is stored in the brain or in the lower energy center around where our genitals are. So when we like see a woman, it's natural to get that rush of energy or that horniness, that energy in our body. But instead of letting it reside in our brain or in our lower energy center, to acknowledge it, accept it, appreciate the woman for the beauty that you see, and breathe it up. Breathe it into your heart and release it. And you're breathing that sexual energy into love. And it is one of the most powerful practices that I still use today. Because yes, when you see a beautiful woman or you feel that beautiful feminine energy, it has that on you. And you go, but it's a natural thing. It's an evolutionary thing as a man to feel that for a woman. But breathing that up, using that high level of consciousness to breathe that into the body and use that energy in a different way, it really transcends that. And it's a really powerful practice. Yeah,
I love
that
what you shared. That it's so important. That just tuning in with yourself. Like, what's going on for me when I'm choosing to engage in whether just masturbating or watching porn or wanting to have a wink? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what's going on for you? Like, is it an escape? Is it like there's something you don't want to be with? You don't want to feel? Is it a numbing? Like, or you know, how much more consciousness can you bring to this experience? How much more, like what we always, you know, the themes of all this, how much more can we be in our bodies and be in the like full experience of ourselves?
That's it. It's like Ryan mentioned as well, is like it is a connection with the divine, that moment of release. It's that connection. Oh, I'm back home.
Yep.
I'm God.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But when you can experience that throughout your day, you're like, fuck, I don't need to waste my energy on that.
When you can do that with a tree,
yeah,
same thing. You know, there's
yeah,
there's
or
moments.
A partner.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly.
You know, like
100%.
More importantly, you know, this I just love this conversation of. You know, maybe there's more questions.
No, this
here,
one. This I think this is so important.
Like relating and sex and sexuality. You know, I remember this quote like rocked me when I first saw it a few years ago. It was something like, you know, like unconscious sex.
Yeah.
Is like using another human to masturbate.
Yeah, what does Ram Dass say? It's like two people rubbing themselves together, their genitals together.
Totally,
but it's true.
And so even just you know overlaying some of what we've shared into your relationships, into you know your sex life with your partners, with your lovers, you know what does that look like? How much more? How present are you? How in your body are you? How out of your mind, how
in control are you?
How much are you letting go of a goal? You know, men are so goal orientated and they take that to a bedroom. I'm here to do one thing. Mm-hmm. And there's a goal, there's an outcome, and we make good time. We try to, you know, we're here to get from A to B. Yep. And instead of being present to the experience. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but wow, like sex has changed dramatically the more I've built and nourished that relationship with myself, the more present I've become, the more connected to me. It's reflective of how connected I can be to another being.
It's exactly that.
And it becomes energetic. There's no physical body. I mean, there's definitely a physical pull. It's like what Ru said, there's a primal instinct in men for sure. But it becomes an energetic experience and an energetic exchange, and that shit's fucking cosmic.
It is cosmic. It's a journey, and as you said, there's no end result there. And when you're immersed in that, and you're together, and you're breathing, and you're feeling it all, and you're nowhere else. You're present with her. You're in her as well as becoming her. I feel in a way, time just disappears, and that end result disappears too. You don't even need to ejaculate as a male. You can just be immersed in that. And the beautiful sensations that she's feeling and get more than you've ever needed. But it has to come from the relationship with self and that non-attachment to getting that stimulation yourself to be able to go there with your woman. It's something that I'm exploring recently, actually.
All men goes both ways.
And it's something that I've recently rediscovered is that actual place that you can get through intimacy is so far beyond your wildest dreams. Growing up, experiencing sex and having sex, and it was always finish sex and then you're thinking about the next time you're going to have sex, right? It's like that consistent, when am I going to do this next? Where can we do this next to make it more exciting? Can we do it on the bench? Can we make it more fun or exciting, But it's not that at all. When you're having sex now and when I'm connecting with my woman, it's beyond body. It's hard to even articulate.
Is it out of, what did you say on that podcast the other day? You're out of your mind. Like, yeah, you are out of your mind. You're out of this world.
Yeah, you are. You are. Maybe we should just do a podcast in particular around, I think, intimacy and that. Connecting with women and more relationship stuff, but I feel we've touched on a lot of good stuff in that topic. Eh?
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I was going to add that's just really present. I know it's that we're skewing a little far away from the original question, but just the idea of what we thought love was for me has shifted so much in the last particular year, definitely too. I think we sold such a bullshit facade and painted in movies. Painted in movies and Disney and a lot of conditioning growing up, and we genuinely believe that to be this charge, this pull, this what actually is an unregulated nervous system and a trauma bond. Mm-hmm. And what I'm starting to realize is actual, that true love, that pure love is still. It's really present. It's really open. It's
safe.
It's safe. There isn't that charge. There isn't that activation. It's just, it might even feel a little bit boring to what you're used to.
There's no attachment with it.
Totally.
Comfort.
Unconditional. So even just that concept of love shifted so much for me. All right, should we pick another one?
Yeah, we'll go one more. We're on the hour already, lads.
One more. Only one more.
We're on the hour. We have a 10
hours
later.
I feel like we could be here for three.
We could.
Oh, should we pick a goodie? Should we go one more each? Come on, let's
go one more each.
One more each.
Those that are listening and in a relationship and thinking, man, my sex is just so disconnected. Just step it back in the bedroom, slow it down a little bit, practice being present, practice following one another's breath.
For sure.
Practice getting out of that end result goal and practice being immersed in the moment that you're with that person in.
I'm just going to go really quickly. Yeah, someone said, I know this is exactly what I need right now, but don't know how to start. Just start.
Just start.
The shortest answer to that question.
Just start.
Someone else, we could just do some shotgun questions.
Yeah,
someone said, can you recommend any really good books to read?
Oh.
My number one go-to is always Conversations with God. I love that book.
All right, never heard of it.
Whoa.
Conversations with God.
Bro, yes. It's Conversations with God. Particularly for men when it comes to self-love, there's one called Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It.
I've heard of this.
Don't have the author. Off the top of my head, Way of the Superior Man. What are some of my other go-tos? A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson's amazing.
I've only ever read one book, and it is
The Alchemist.
Oh, The Alchemist is so good.
It is a great book, and it's really interesting. I haven't been a big reader my whole life. I'm more of an audible, like I listen to podcasts and stuff. But
same.
I've always said to myself, like, like I don't really read books. I never have, and I'm trying to make this my book. I'm trying to make experiencing my book. It's the where I learn the most. You know, conversations, interactions, looking at humans, watching humans interact, looking at nature. Like I feel I learn so much from just here. You know,
I'm very experiential when it comes to learning. Yeah. For sure. Like I definitely have some books that have like just
blown your mind. Mm. Oh, I am reading right now Power vs. Force by David Hawkins. It's taken me a long time.
It's chunky.
I've been reading it.
I keep asking, right, chunky. How far through it are you? Because he tells me all the good. Oh, you love it, bro. Look how much you've learned from that.
Excellent. I'm learning so much from it, yeah.
And I'm about halfway.
Do you have any books yet?
Just over halfway. So what do we got here? We got Atomic Habits. That's a great one.
Atomic Habits is good.
And then, yeah, anything by Dr. Joe Dispenza.
How to Do the Work.
The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle. Skip through a bit of that.
Power of Now, yeah. If you want something on money, one of the best books on money I've ever read that I love is, it's called A Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Yeah.
That's what I recommend. It talks a lot about the energetics of money as well, which is perfect. So, anyway, I think that'll do. Any other quick fires? Okay, I'm just going to pick one that we can go a little bit deeper on.
Stay there. We're coming back.
Yeah, there's so many. There was one that I saw before that I can't find now, but it was just around...
Spit it out. We'll do one sentence answers.
Oh, here. Okay, this is just basic things that you can go and implement into your life right now. Self-care habits outside of breathwork, ice bath.
Oh, outside of breathwork and ice bath, or did you just say ice baths?
Outside of breathwork/ice baths. Oh, right. Self-care habits.
Invest in organic nutritional food. Chiropractor. Okay. Masseuse.
Time in nature.
Oof. Hug a tree.
Yeah.
No, like Soaps. Literally time in nature is fucking everything.
Space and time for self, to be with self.
Yeah.
I think that's the ultimate form of self-care. Yeah.
Jumping in the ocean. Yeah. Walking down the beach.
How about space and time with self in nature?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
There's a full package.
Yeah.
No, honestly, we just dropped out to a retreat up in Noosa last couple of days, and we'd been had a, probably the biggest weekend we've had in ever. For Call to Be Conscious, we had our prac day on the Saturday. We had our Call to Be Conscious experience the Sunday, and then we went up there, and it was just permission to ourselves for that time and space, and it was just nature. There was no light pollution. It's like a biohacking retreat, so she'd had everything. There's Sounds no Wi-Fi incredible. Or Bluetooth signals, and just walking naked through this forest just brought tears to my eyes. Mm. And it brought me back home, like, oh, there it is. That's it. I need nothing to feel this. I need nothing. And that was the reason why we started what we do, is coming home to self, feeling that we need nothing. And that is always there. It is always there. And for others, we just want others to experience that. So, yeah, time, space, nature, it's all the free things. It's all the free things.
Totally. Yeah, I talk about self-love. I believe the purest form of self-love to be deep listening. Just, you know, like listening to that internal voice. I truly believe that's the purest form of self-love. And then the self-care is the action that voice is leading you towards. And that doesn't always look like bubble baths and chocolate cake, you know. It can be setting boundaries. I think that's important. It could be
so many things.
Taking action on your passion project. It can be, you know, sitting with self, feeling your feelings. You know, just deep listening and resonance to that internal dialogue.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I was actually having a conversation with a woman the other day, and I said something in a different way than I normally do, because we often talk about having that self-love or self-care as for a man is like, or we'd been articulating it as for everyone. For a man, I now believe it's a lot more about sticking to your word. If you say you're going to do something, do it, and that will build up that self-trust, that self-love, and it's a caring, a self-caring thing to do. Integrity, it's huge for a man. women are a lot more emotional, so they're a spark of the moment. They act on their feelings in the moment. So for a woman, I think that same thing is trusting her intuition and acting on her intuition.
100%. So when you feel that, the essence of the divine feminine.
Yeah. So when you go against that, that is sabotaging your self-love and your self-care. So when you feel that pull from your gut, pulling in your direction or your heart or wherever you get your intuition from, trusting that, it will not make sense for a lot of the decisions you make and for those around you, but trust in that, take action on that, and the more you do that, that's building up more self-love. Mm. And that is a self-care practice.
100%. 100%.
And it's free.
Mm. Boom. Yep. Self-love is the listening, and the action you take from that place is the care.
Mm, I love that.
Anything else you want to touch on? There,
how to navigate sibling rivalry promoted by parents.
I can't answer that one. I don't have any.
Some career paths, etc.
Only child. Oh. I find sibling dynamics so fascinating, eh?
Yeah. Mm. I can't really talk on it either. I haven't really... I haven't been with siblings since I've been, you know, in this kind of state of being, but I always remember competing with them.
There was a bit at the end of that question that I really felt.
How did I ever get sibling rivalry promoted by parents?
Promoted by parents.
Promoted.
As in like, if the parents are sort of the antagonists of the rivalry.
Of course.
It's a tricky one. Eh?
So I'd say it's probably not so much the siblings that are triggering you. I'd say it's actually your relationship with your parents.
Yeah, not feeling seen, not feeling loved, not feeling understood or appreciated. So I would literally have a conversation with your parents there and ask whatever you're needing that you're not getting and needing to create noise around or some kind of argument with your sibling to compete. Ask for whatever you're not getting. They're not going to be able to read your mind. Ask for that time with them. Dad or Mum, I'd really love some time just with you so you can chat with me. We can have a conversation and talk about some things. Or Dad, I'd love it if you just gave me a big hug every now and again. Whatever that is, you know, we all need that. We all want that. Just being honest, I feel, would be the best way to navigate through that. Because you don't actually want to compete with your sibling. You want to be best mates with them. Yeah. The competing and that frustration that you create with one another is literally to create noise with your parents to gain their attention.
Yeah. Yeah, my relationship with parents has been coming up a lot. And I know this started at siblings, but I could feel under the surface it's deeper. There's parents.
Mm.
It's been coming up heaps with different people over the last month or so, particularly clients. But it's the root of everything. Unfortunately, everything pretty much is already done and dusted and created and conditioned and instilled in you in your first 7 years of life.
Absolutely.
And that comes from your primary caregivers. So your whatever patterns of behavior you see or conditioning showing up, you know, more often than not, I'd say 95% of the time can go back to the relationship you had with either mum or dad or whoever your primary caregivers were. But it can be confronting, you know. We really can pedestal our parents. We can really, you know, hold them in a light of sort of godlike.
Yep.
We don't want to take them off that pedestal. We don't want to put blame on for their potential parental faults or flaws. I know for me, I felt a deep sense of guilt when I started to do that, because although they created a lot of these buttons that can get pressed, they instilled them. They were also they supported me to no end. But yeah, just healing the patterns that they've created. That's everything.
That is. It's the unlearning. The unlearning of everything that you've ever been taught and then relearning in a way that feels good for you and your body.
Mm. Yeah.
And from that more conscious aspect, and as you just spoken to, they were just operating from the best that they were taught, right, from their parents, and they were doing their best.
Totally.
That is the best for them because that's what they were taught.
Yeah. I'd love to again, just in, I don't know how you guys do this, but if there's sort of show notes and resources that you add, I can add a link.
Aaron, you're taking notes?
Yeah.
Sleeping over there.
it's Gabriel Marte's documentary that I've got and can make available. It's called The Wisdom of Trauma. But it just sort of shines a light on a lot of this. in a way that I'd love the entire world to just start to see through this lens of how we are the way we are, and why we behave the way in which we behave. It's an amazing place to start. So.
We'll add that on. 100%. I'd love to tap into that. But your parents and parenting, the relationships with parents is, as you said, it's the the creator of what we are and who we are and how we've ended up where we are.
Yeah, one of my business partners always says, you know, why do my parents press my buttons so much? Because they instilled them.
Yeah.
They know where they are.
Know you're inside out.
Yep, they know where they are.
Yeah, and then again, it doesn't mean that they're consciously doing these or acting from the space from a place of malice. Far from it. They're acting out from their own hurts and their own pains and their own experiences from their parents and their parents and their parents before them. And we're basically just being parented by our like great 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 grandparents,
the monkeys.
And it comes back to that what we talked into earlier when you're wanting to talk to people that aren't spiritually inclined or unconnected with themselves on that deeper level. Parents can be the biggest trigger for that, right? You're healing, you're doing the work, and they don't want to borrow it. And that can be a challenge because they're parents and you want them to experience life in this form that you see it from or through this lens that you see it through, because you know that there is pain in there because you've healed the pain that you've inherited from them. You know it's there. You know it's come from. Yeah. Like, mom, dad, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I had to heal the wounds that you had, right?
Totally.
And the beautiful saying I like to always give to people that are not ready to heal, they must suffer more. They must suffer more.
Yeah, yeah. And the more healing you do on yourself, the more you traverse that felt sense, the more you get to, and closer you get to a place of just full acceptance and compassion and understanding.
And love for everyone, wherever they're at.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you don't get to set boundaries. It doesn't mean you get to make some of their behaviors okay, but you can understand it better.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's not like that we don't love them any more than we would knowing where they're at.
Yeah.
We know their potential, right?
It's the same as like the, what do you call it? Like the judiciary system, jails and institutions. It's the same thing. Like these are all just hurt humans that have, suffered, generational traumas, most likely passed on from their parents to their parents to their parents, or even a lack of parents.
The not bad humans. They're just humans that have made one bad decision through the conditioning.
Exactly. And yet we lock them behind bars, put them in a cage, and tell them there and reinforce the shame that they already feel within themselves. You're a bad person. Not you've done a bad thing. You're a bad human.
Drew for president. Get him up there. All right.
Abolish the prison system.
That just about do us, eh?
1:14.
Do you feel complete, boys?
I'm feeling pretty good.
That was juicy.
Yeah, that was juicy. There's that's some just good straight stuff to in the there, point.
Right? It was real good.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. I know. I trust that
use over there.
Listen, G got something out of that.
We
trust you got some good stuff out of there. We dove into the depths of a few things, and as we said earlier, Drew's got so much in his mind and heart that needs to be shared and expressed, and we're just blessed and privileged to have him in our company, in our home.
Thank you once for having again. Me, guys. I love this. I love bouncing. I just love serving the people and giving them what they need in real time. I think it's so important.
Yeah.
Anything? Oh, let's go one message for the world.
Oh, it's always the same. It's like just feel it all.
Feel it all.
That's brilliant. Yeah, let's just underline that word. Just
feel
it. And learn to feel. You know, it's real easy for us to sit here and go, feel your feelings. Like, go and explore. Go and figure out how. Go and find out how to create that safety within your body.
It's all out there, eh?
Yeah.
And where can everyone find you? Is there anything coming up for you that people could jump on? Or?
No. You can find me on Facebook, Drew Wild, or Instagram at Drew_Wild. No, I just do one-on-one mentoring at the moment. That's my only offering.
Beautiful.
Yes, boy.
Yeah.
Get on there, fam, if you resonate. I know you do. Cheers, brother. Big love, man.
Thank you.
Once again.
Appreciate you guys. Lots of love.
Big love. See you next time, humans, for episode, what is it, Ronnie? 15 or 16.
We're checking them up.
That's it.
Keep having fun.
Big love.
Peace.